Whoa. How many know that song, Get in Your Spirit? That's powerful. Powerful song. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you guys. I'm just going to say something for about 2 or 3 minutes that will, I hope, edify you. Kimberly's going to be talking today about wealth mindset. And so I wanted to share this story with you. This is many moons ago. This is from 1972. And so Ina and I were on our way up to New Jersey to see my parents. We kind of alternate summers, you know. I'd go up there for a couple weeks with Ina, and we'd have vacation there. They'd come down, vacation down in New Orleans. So when I got there, Ina was in the kitchen with my mom, and they were fixing dinner. And so I looked at my dad, and I said, "Pop, how you doing? How are the finances? How's the work?" He said, "Real, real slow, Dave." And I looked at him, and I said, "Can I ask you a personal question?" He said, "Sure." I said, "When did you stop tithing?" Had this shocked look on his face, because he'd already been a tither. And he said, "How did you know?" Because I said, "You always have been blessed financially, especially in the markets, since you've been a tither. And now can I go a step forward, a step further?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going to tell you why you're not tithing." He goes, "Yeah, I'd like to know that." I said, "Because where you're going to church, you're not being fed there." I said, it's dry. He goes, "You know, that's exactly right." I said, I can't tell you what to do, but I said, "I would try to find a place where you can go that will really feed you. And when you go there, you will want to give to that place." And he went, "Boy, that makes sense." And I said, "As a matter of fact, there's a guy right next to you, a pastor, Presbyterian pastor. He's conservative." I say, "He loves Jesus. He's preaching the word as far as he knows it. He's got a great church." I said, "You know who it is?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Don Pepper, Dr. Pepper." He was a doctor, too. And so I came back a year later. I said, "How are things?" "Totally changed." He said, "I left that place and went to the other place." He said, "Being fed." And now he said, "God just blown the lid off, and we are so blessed." So how many know when you pursue it God's way, you get God's results? Amen? Amen. Kimberly, come on.
Don't we love the man of God? Yes. We honor him today. Yes. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go back into the culture of honor with you. We did the first, second, and third lessons. But today I want to talk to you about developing a wealth mindset. And this comes out of Danny Silk's book, Walking in the Culture of Honor. He also has another great book, Loving Your Children on Purpose. So that's an awesome book too. So if you were interested in that, you can find that on Amazon. But Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word today. Lord, I thank you, Father, that Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. And I ask you, Lord, just to give each one of us exactly what we need to take away from this message, Lord. Give us ears to hear, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start with Psalm 34 and verse 10. Yeah. So even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Say to your neighbor, "I will never lack any good thing." So I want to tell you that the abundant wealth of heaven is ours. And when I say that, I mean this, that when you got born again, your born again spirit became just like Jesus. So when the Bible says in Luke, it says that they asked the disciples, "Well, where's heaven? Is it in Jesus? Is it here or is it there?" It's in you. It's on the inside of you. You carry it. So once you become born again, you carry the wealth of the kingdom of heaven on the inside. We just have to learn how to access that. We have to learn how to access heaven and how to get it to be pulled out of us into our atmosphere. Amen. And Jesus said, you pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as it is in heaven, we want it to be on earth. So in the world system, there's a mindset and there's a certain way of thinking. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I'm gonna tell you this anyway before I get there. So I'll repeat myself later. So there is a poverty mindset, there's a middle class mindset, and then there's a wealthy mindset. That's the way the world system works. And we hear it. We hear it in the news. We hear it whenever they're going to do a new debt bill. Congress gets together and they always tell us that the middle class are going to suffer and those that are in poverty are going to be, you know, done away with. So we hear this in our ear gate all the time. So then we get in this socioeconomic view of poverty, middle class, and wealthy. But in the kingdom of God, there's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, right? So our kingdom culture is completely different from the world's culture. Say that with me. Our kingdom culture is completely different from the world's culture. You know, it's like this. So you always know when you're a tourist in Manhattan. So if you ever visit Manhattan, you visit the business district, and you see the tourists, and they're like this. You know, they're all looking up, you know, and you know who they are. They're excited to be there, and their eyes are looking everywhere, and they can't believe how enormous the city is, and you can tell that they're visitors. Well, we are citizens of heaven. And we are just visiting this earth. But we need to reflect heaven. So we need to be like the visitors that visit Manhattan. We need to be looking up. And we need to be smiling and so excited that we're here because we're just passing through. Yeah. Amen. So there's a certain culture that we need to walk in. And it's the kingdom culture. And it's different from the ways of the world. And when we walk in the kingdom culture, there's nothing that will be withheld from you because all of the blessings of the Lord are ours in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we want to tap into those things today. So does that make sense? Father, I just thank you, Lord, for giving us ears to hear this morning. Number one, it says that lack ultimately produces death. So that's in your notes. That's a direct quote from Bill Johnson. He says, I pay no attention to the warning of possible excess from those who are satisfied with lack. And so, in other words, those who put their mind on lack. So God doesn't want you and I to put our minds on lack. He says, I take care of the sparrows. I'll take care of you too. He doesn't want our minds to be on we're just barely going to make it, right? Because we live in the wealth of the kingdom. We have everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. And it says also, this is not in your notes, but Deuteronomy 8:18 says that, but remember the Lord, for it's God who gives you the ability to gain wealth. Amen. So wealth is something, you know, during offering time, we talk about this a lot, but wealth is something that we carry on the inside of us. And I think in our Christian walk, as we go along with the Lord and we're seeking God and we're reading his word and we're praying, we begin to realize that we carry that wealth on the inside of us. Amen. And we no longer become a people that are needy. We become a people that are expectant. We expect God to move. We expect God to show up. We expect God to bless. When we lay hands, we expect God to heal. You know, our thinking is different. Okay. So number two, we have been promised a life of abundance. That's your fill in there. So we've been promised a life of abundance. John 10:10, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. This is the Passion Translation. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life it's in its fullness until you overflow. And of course, the King James is the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus Christ came to give us that life and that life more abundantly. So look at your neighbor and say, I have life more abundantly. Now, we as Christians, we have the option. We can open the door for the enemy to come in and rob and steal from us. We can give him that doorway, but we close that door. We close it because we know that we live a life in abundance with the Lord. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. So let's take a look at number three. It says, abundance and freedom and choices are all ways to describe the condition of a soul, that's your fill-in, that we must master if we want a revival culture. So in other words, it's what we do with the abundance and with the freedom that we have and with the choices that we make. The development and expansion of a wealth mindset is an essential key to our successful introduction to the kingdom of heaven, coming to earth and remaining here. So we want heaven to come in its fullness, and we want it to remain here. And it remains here through the believer. Say that with me. Say, it remains here through the believer. And Jesus, after he ascended and he came back to the disciples, he taught them about the how powerful the kingdom of heaven is. It's like that pearl in the field. And when you find that pearl, it's great wealth to you when you find that pearl. It's precious to you. So we carry the wealth of the kingdom on the inside of us. It says in Matthew 6:10 in the Passion Translation, it says, manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth. So God wants his purposes filled on earth. He wants to come and make an abode with you and I, and he wants you to be a reflection of what heaven looks like. Amen? So that's when Veronica ministered to her cleaning lady, and they both got saved in that testimony. She just opened up heaven. She opened up her mouth, and she began to speak about heaven. She began to speak about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Years ago, there was a plumber who came to my house. This was when my husband and I were at Fort Bragg. And he came to my house to fix the trash disposal. And so he comes into the house, and he's fixing it. And I feel like, oh, I need to tell him about Jesus. So back in those days, we passed out tracts. So I went and grabbed me a tract first, because that was the only way I knew how to witness, was by handing a tract first, you know. So I told him about Jesus, and I handed him the tract, you know. And then I told him that I really believed that God wanted to do something in his life, and that would he be willing to accept Jesus Christ. And right there in my kitchen, with his hands all dirty from my sink, he said, yes, I want to accept Jesus right there. So we have to allow the kingdom of heaven to flow through you and I, not only in the church. So I think for a long time we've been taught in the church, but we keep it in the church. We're not supposed to keep the kingdom in the church building. We're supposed to take the kingdom out into the world, right? So we're supposed to come out of here. My one former pastor said, you sit on the stool, do nothing. You know, Pastor Ken Pritchard used to say, you sit on the stool, do nothing. You're not here to warm up the seat. You got to go out, you know, he'd say. And so I learned to take it out. So wherever, you could be in the elevator, you could be at the gas station, you could be in Walmart, but let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and that they glorify God. Amen. Release the kingdom of heaven. Dare to do it. Kenneth Hagin would say, I double dog dare you. You know, I double dog dare you to go do that, you know. And so dare to open up your mouth and let the kingdom of heaven, the wealth of the kingdom, flow from you. Amen. Okay. So number four, we are joint heirs with Christ. That's your fill-in. Romans 8 and verse 17. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share in all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. That's powerful right there. So look. He says, for indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we are also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. So we are heirs of the kingdom of God. You say, I'm an heir to all the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, they're ours. So all the abundance and freedom of the kingdom, that's your next fill-in, of the kingdom are ours. Wealth is something that you have internal. It's an internal reality. Riches are an external condition. So I'm going to explain that here. So inside of you, you hold the internals located at your inwardmost being. The external is your outward appearance. It means situated or being outside of something, acting or coming from without. So it's important, number five, that we change what we say and what we think to an internal reality. We'll always be manifesting in our external. So in other words, what we have on the inside will always be coming out on the outside. You know, so there's an old saying, what you see is what you get, you know. And so when we're manifesting the kingdom of heaven, whether we're in church, Ronnie, or whether we're at the workplace, whatever we have on the inside should be coming on the outside. So when you see me here, you see me there. So we are born again, spirit-filled believers that carry the wealth of the kingdom on the inside of us. So we reflect the kingdom. We should be reflecting the glory of God. We should be like the visitor to New York City. You know, we should be like that citizen from heaven that's giving the glory of God everywhere we go and being ready then to give an answer to every man when that man or that woman asks us of the question. Amen. So say with me, I have all of the kingdom of heaven on the inside of me. I am a reflection of Jesus Christ himself. Remember the story that I gave you about when the Lord, I really thought the Lord was speaking to me audibly, and I was up here in the front of the church, this is probably about 10 years now or so, but I was up here in the front of the church, and we had just started this series on the culture of honor, Pastor Dave, so this was some time ago, 2013. And so I was over there, and I remember I thought I heard Jesus speak to me. I thought I heard him say, Kimberly, do you see me? And it was so loud in my right ear that I thought he was standing right next to me. And so then he said it again, really loud. So I put my flag down. And he said, Kimberly, do you see me? And I turn around and I looked. And I'm looking because I'm thinking, Debbie, he's going to be standing right here. But he wasn't there. And I looked and I saw the congregation. Everybody was worshiping the Lord. And I'm like looking, thinking I'm going to see him somewhere. And I turned back around and I just said to myself, no, Jesus, I don't see you. I don't see you. And he said, look again. And so I turned to look again, and he said, I am on every face. When you can see this way, there's no limits to what I can do through you. So there's a different way of seeing. There's a different way of walking. There's a different experience in the culture of the kingdom versus the culture of the world. We see differently. And if we see in the eyes of the world, we'll never make it in the kingdom. We have got to reflect the kingdom of heaven, meaning when I look at Cortina, I see Jesus. Remember the first lesson that we had on value. So value empowers you, and then when you're empowered with value, you're launched into your destiny. You're launched into what God has called you to do and be. And that's a whole different kind of thinking. It's a wealth mindset that you have. The kingdom of heaven is all ours, you know. When the king was just coronated over in England, and everything belongs to him, and all of his children and his heirs get to enjoy what's in the castle. And so we are joint heirs with God. And so everything that God has, we have already. Amen. And we can have those things here on this earth, but it's getting your mind renewed. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, right? Be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and what's the acceptable, perfect will of God for you, right? So it's getting the word in us and understanding that our true identity and understanding that your sister's true identity pulls value from her. And when she feels valued, she's going to walk in her destiny. She's going to know the calling and the gifts of God that she has on her life. And she'll walk in that destiny with power, with deliverance in her hand. And she'll be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we see people, we see them in the light of the kingdom. Amen. And then there's nothing that God can't do through you when you see that way. Amen. Jesus looked that way. Jesus saw you and me that way. All right. Let's see. Where did I leave off? So number five, this is why it's so important that we change what we say and what we think. Our internal reality will always be manifesting our external. To change our mindset, we must change our words. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it. So we've got to change what we say. We've got to change what we speak from our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's internal will always come out. So when you're backed into a wall, what's inside of you will come out of you. Right? I love Jennifer Kostel's testimony. She, when the cancer had come back, She said that she when she got up in the morning, she had healing scriptures plastered all over her wall. And when she got up in the morning, she switched her conversation. She took her mouth and she began to speak the word of God that was plastered all over her room. And she would go to one scripture after the other scripture. And I'm paraphrasing her testimony, but she'd go one scripture after the other scripture after the other scripture. And she said sometimes it'd be tiring because she had so many scriptures plastered all around her wall. But she knew the importance of changing the atmosphere by speaking the word of God out of your mouth. Life and death are in the power of our tongue, and we will eat the fruit of it. So what's inside in our internal reality will always manifest and come out on the outside. Amen. So if we're speaking fear, fear will come out. If we're speaking sickness, sickness will come out. If we're speaking discouragement, discouragement will come out. If we're speaking depression, depression will come out. If we're speaking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day, then I don't know how you're going to get through this day. I don't know how you're going to make it. But if you change your mind and change your thoughts and say, I'm going to make it through this day in Jesus' name, I'm going to get out of this bed and I'm going to make it. I'm going to stir up the kingdom of God on the inside of me. I'm going to speak to myself and say, wells of the kingdom of heaven be stirred up on the inside of me. I'm going to move and be all that God has called for me to be. Amen. And I'm going to learn. And we are learning how to walk in this mindset together. Look at your neighbor and say, we're learning. Yeah, we're learning how to walk this walk. I am telling you, there's a revival coming to the United States of America. There's a revival coming, and it's going to take the church understanding their identity and understanding that you walk in a different culture. You don't walk in the ways of this world, but you walk in the kingdom culture. Amen? And the world needs for you to walk that way. I need for you to walk that way. Versi needs for you to walk that way. Each one of us need to be walking and talking kingdom. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, so let's take a look at Matthew 12, verse 35. So when virtue is stored within, the hearts of good, upright people will produce good fruit. But when evil is hidden within, those who are evil will produce evil fruit. So that's the Passion Translation. I love that. So what's stored inside of you? So store up the word of God on the inside. Don't let the enemy come and steal it from you. Don't let him come. Because he'll try to come, right? In Ephesians 6, it talks about the wiles of the devil. And he'll come with the wiles and the arrows, and he'll come to try to destroy you and try to discourage you. But you can't let him. Adriana, you can't let him. You cannot let him. You have got to stand your ground. And when you've done all to stand, stand therefore again. Because God is for you. He is not against you. Amen. He's going to move on your behalf supernaturally. He's going to surprise you. You're not going to believe what God is going to do in the coming days in your life. Amen. God is going to move greatly. There's a suddenly that's coming to you. Don't let the enemy get in there. Say with me, devil, you are defeated. Devil, you are under my feet. And I'm not letting you out. Not today, not tomorrow. Not the next day. Say with me, I am as he is in this world. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So let's go. Let's go to number six. So having a wealth mindset is about freedom. Say with me. Say it's about freedom. Not about having things. So sometimes we think in the world, you know, the wealthy store up things, you know. But a wealth mindset in the kingdom is about freedom, and it's about not having things. It's the freedom that we have. And it's hard sometimes even to teach people that are free to keep them free. So you got to stay free yourself to keep them free. Okay. So let me see where I was. So not about having things. It's about a culture. So that's six number, letter B is culture, that produces the kingdom from within us. It changes the things around us. When we shift our inward reality to kingdom thinking, we bring the abundance of heaven to this earth. Okay, I'm going to read that again, okay? So having a wealth mindset is about freedom. It's not about having things. It's about a culture that produces the kingdom from within us. And let me just say something. So a wealth mindset's about freedom, and it's not about things. But when you walk in Christ, you have all things. You don't have a need for things. Does that make sense? Because you already have it. So when I go to work in the retail store, and I go to, when I'm not here, I sell Chanel. And so when I'm selling Chanel, and I work in the fragrance area, and so when I go to work, I just think about that scripture that my hand is blessed whatever I do. So, and sometimes I got really big sales numbers to make. Not me personally, but the store has numbers to make. So I'm in the store to help them. I'm like an ambassador for Chanel. And so when I go in there and I see the large goal and I see no customers coming into the store, I have to remind myself that I'm not in the culture of the world. So I may be here and I may be in this culture right now, but I come from a different culture. It's called the culture of the kingdom, where righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost live and dwell on the inside of me. So therefore, I'm going to make my day today because I'm here. And because I'm here and the kingdom's here, blessings got to flow from the kingdom. So that's not being super spiritual or haughty. That's knowing who you are in Christ. It's knowing your identity in the Lord, and my Father is not going to make me be embarrassed today. I'm going to make my sales goal. And so every time I think that way, I have 32% increase, 42% increase. I mean, I am walking out in a four-hour day at $12,000 in sales. So say with me, the wealth of the kingdom is stored up for the righteous, right? It's for us, right? So every area in our life, God wants to multiply just that way. Ronnie deals with cars, and he gets phenomenal deals on cars. I mean, he'll blow you away with some of his testimonies. It blows me away when I listen to him. I think, oh my gosh, look at that, Lord. Look at, he just deals with cars, and he'll spot a car. He'll be driving down the road, and he'll spot a car over behind the bushes. Ronnie sees the car. That's true. And the Lord blesses him, right? So the Lord wants to bless every single one of us in those terms. Amen. So it's not about what we have, but because we already understand that we already have it. We already have those things, right? Now that's a little bit of Andrew Womack right there. Okay. So having a wealth mindset, number six, is about freedom. It's not about having things. It's a culture that produces the kingdom within us. It then changes the things around us when we shift our inward reality to kingdom thinking. We bring the abundance of heaven to earth. So when I go in to work in the retail store, I bring that thinking with me into my job. I bring that mindset with me. And so I've never been let down. God has never failed me, not once. So it's a powerful transformation of our inside reality. We begin to think differently. We begin to know that everything that pertains to life and godliness, we already have on the inside of us. So we're just going to learn how to tap into those things. Amen. So 2 Peter 1:3. And it says, his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So we have all things. And I like to say that in number seven, that we carry the very DNA of heaven. And we're all called to be a blessing and to bless all the nations of this world. We live from heaven, not to it. And I think that's a difference, you know. One morning, I'll fly away. There's that song. One, how's it go? One glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. And, you know, and we sing that song, and it's wonderful. But I'm not looking to go there one glad morning. I want the kingdom of heaven right now, here. I'm going to go there one day. I'm going to be there. But I want to see the kingdom of heaven flowing now. I want to see the revival that God has promised. I want to see the prodigal sons and daughters come home. I want to see the goodness of God flowing in the land of the living. I want to see God move. I want to see God do the supernatural. I want the supernatural to become natural in our house. I want it to become an all the time thing. Amen. When we go out here into the world to the restaurant today, if you're going to go to eat, I want the kingdom of heaven to flow through you. Amen. I want you to reach that waiter. I want you to reach that waitress. Amen. With the goodness of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to read you a scripture in Ephesians 2 real quick. It's not in your notes, but Ephesians 1. And I'm going to read to you. Let's see. I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own. joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as a holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love that he loved Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. We are joined to Christ. We have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood. Say that with me. We have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood. All because of the cascading riches of his grace. The superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. When you walk in the realm of the kingdom and you walk in the mindset of the kingdom, wisdom and revelation and knowledge are automatically yours. We automatically have them. Wisdom is a person, and he lives on the inside of us. Amen? He lives on the inside of me. And so when I switch my identity to being a child of God, and I switch it from not having a mindset of being poor or needy, but a mindset of I have everything that I need. Wow. Things change. Things began to change in my life, and they'll change in your life too. Say with me, I have a wealth mindset. Okay, so I want to just real quick, did we read Philippians? Let's read Philippians 3:22. But we are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our humble bodies and transfigure us into identical likeness of his glorified body. And using his matchless power, he continually subdues everything for himself. Hallelujah. I want to say colony actually means nationality. It means we are of one nationality in the Lord. Amen. I want you just real quick, I want to share with you some nuggets real fast on Abraham. And you turn to your next page real quick. Oh, I didn't give it this. Oh, hold on. 7B. Citizen. Heaven. So we carry the DNA of heaven, and we're called to be a blessing, to bless the nations of the world. We live from heaven, not to it. We must think like a citizen of heaven, therefore. So we must think like we're citizens of heaven. So what would it be like in heaven? That's why God wants it to be in your lives right here. Amen? Just like that. I once heard a testimony of a woman who had gone to heaven, and she came back, and she said that people in heaven were doing all the things that they loved to do. If they loved to golf, they were golfing. And if they loved to swim, they were swimming. You know, they were doing all the things that they loved to do. And so on earth, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and he wants us to be joyful, and he wants us to understand that our identity is not in the things of this world, but it's in the things of God's world. Amen? So God took Abram to the next level, from external riches to expanding him on the inside. Remember the story. God had to transform Abram, which actually means exalted father, that you're filling there. And in his name change, gave him the power to be Abraham. So in your name change, when you got born again, you became a son or daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you immediately got a name change. Your name changed, and God became your heavenly father. Hallelujah. All right. So in his name change, he gave him the power of the name Abraham, which actually means father of multitudes. Can we pull up Genesis? Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this is just like Jesus. I mean, the moment we come in and we become born again, all of the riches, all of the inheritance that Jesus Christ himself has, we now have. That's our inheritance too. Say it's mine too. Yes. So number two, God is expanding us too. You carry in your divine identity the realization of your Father in heaven. And so I just want to just pause just for a second here. So many times people think that our Father in heaven is judgmental, or we think that he's evil, or we just have this kind of attitude sometimes against the Father. We love Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but we have this thing about God. But I want to tell you something, that God is always good. Look at your neighbor and say, he's always good. And he always gives good things to his people. He always, and if we can get that in our knower, if we can get it deep down inside of us, that God is good and he always gives us good things, even when we're in the midst of a trial, even when we're in the midst of a test. You know, even Pastor Dave, I heard him praying one night over here, and he was sitting here praying, this was a few weeks ago, and out of his mouth was coming, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." And he was repeating it over and over and over again. He knows that God is good and that God always gives him good things. It's the enemy's going to try to come, and he's going to try to rob and steal from you and I. But if we can remember that God is good in the midst of the storm, and we can remember that he always gives good things to his children, we will be a powerhouse. There'll be nothing that the enemy can do to you and I. Amen. The devil comes to say that God is bad. The devil comes to say that God's a liar. But the Bible says that let every man be a liar, but let God himself be the truth. So God's word will always work in our life. The Bible says that I watch over my word to perform it in you. So that means when you speak the word of God, you speak it out of your mouth, he will perform it over your life. He will manifest that word in your life when you speak it. Pastor Dave was saying, no weapon fashioned against me, it shall not prosper. It shall not come back void. And we're literally watching it transform his life. So I want to say today that when we speak the word of God and we understand that our identity is in the Lord, there's nothing, nothing that God won't do for his church. Amen. All right. So God is expanding you and I too. You carry the very realization of your Father in heaven. And number three, this is where I got a little ahead of myself earlier, so I'll take a few minutes here to explain this. There is a socioeconomic worldview that looks through the lens of poverty, that's your first villain, the middle class, and the wealthy. We do not live from this mindset. We live from the mindset of the kingdom that makes us wealthy. Okay, so the kingdom of God makes you and I wealthy. So a poverty mindset, when someone walks in this mindset, when they receive money, they want to spend it really fast. And they have the mindset of, because I might not get it again. So we see a lot of times people win big, huge lotteries, and then they're all out of money in 6 months to a year. Or you hear people say, well, I've got it today, so I'm going to spend it today. And so their mindset is based on what they can use that money for. The middle class, on the other hand, they think, I need to make a budget. I need to budget this money so that I can make it stretch further. And I might be hitting some buttons on how we think, because I used to think both those ways. So you make a budget, and so you think, you know, the money's to be managed. And so you got the poverty mindset. We might not have it tomorrow, so we're going to spend it. And we got the middle class. Well, I've got it, so I got to manage it. Got to hold it together in a budget. And then you've got the wealthy, and the wealthy think, I've got to conserve. Got to conserve, and I've got to invest. I've got to invest this money so that I have more money later. And so that's the way of the world. The kingdom mind says, and Tim quoted the scripture this morning, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So the kingdom mindset doesn't withhold it. You're not in fear. You're never going to get it. You realize that you've got to manage it. You've got to keep it because you've got to be a good steward over it. But the kingdom mindset, a wealth mindset, gives. So we know that this is not mine. I don't have it. This God gave it to me. And he gives me the ability to make wealth. Now, Father, what do you want me to do with it? Right? So there's where it comes, give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will men give to you? So much so it'll fill your bosom, but hold on to it. That's the kingdom mindset. So we want to come out of the world mindset and that way of thinking and understand that we have all the wealth of the kingdom of heaven on the inside of us, and we're to give it away. That's completely different from the world system. Say with me, I'm to give it away. Yes, yes. So Romans 14, verse 7 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's not in your notes, but
We do not live from the world mindset. We live from the mindset of the kingdom, and the kingdom mindset makes us wealthy. We believe who we are in him. That's your fill in there. Number four. We believe in the mindset of him. We are sons and daughters, and everything that he has, we have. So everything that Jesus Christ has, we have. John 1 and verse 12, yeah. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Hallelujah. And Ephesians 2:10 in the Passion Translation, you don't have this in your notes, it says that we have become his poetry. Say that with me. I've become his poetry. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny that he has given to each one of us. For we are joined already to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that's who we are. We live from this perspective. Amen. We live from a royal perspective. This is different from the world system. And we pull out the identity of others. We value them. That's your fill in there for number five. We value and we empower them into their destiny. Remember, I talked about that a few weeks ago. I talked about Versi being a powerful intercessor. And I said, do you, if you need someone to pray, get Versi. Because she can pray. You ever hear her pray? She can pray. So that's a powerful destiny. So I'm pulling that value out of her. I'm recognizing that that's her God-given ability. That's a wonderful gift that God has given to her. But Ruth's sitting right here next to her. I don't know Ruth that well, but she's a powerful intercessor too, right? So she's in secret. Nobody knows. And she's interceding. Powerful. Yeah. So I look at my friend Sue. And Sue's a powerful singer. She gets up with the country western swag when she sings. Yes. And it's anointed. It's so anointed, right? And then the value of Norman, he's such a powerful author. My goodness, if you don't got his book, you need to get his book. Deep stuff in there. God's given him some powerful revelation. So we've got a singer right here. She was so anointed this morning. Powerful in God, right? So we recognize believers by their God-given identity that the Lord has called them to. Now, they may have a secular work, and that's wonderful, but I want to pull out your identity in Christ. Amen? I want to pull out your destiny in the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's what we do as believers, walking in the wealth mindset. We pull out that value. And when we pull out that value, it empowers you to walk in the fullness of your destiny with the Lord. Amen. For so long, we don't see that way. This is called the culture of honor. When we walk in the culture of honor, we value people for who they are. And then when we value them for who they are, they flow into the things that God has called them to flow in. Amen. Say with me, that's good. That's good right there, right? So Pastor Dave is not only a pastor, but he's apostolic. And so because he's apostolic in this house, he's got lots of people in this house that can preach the word. I mean, we have so many ministers in here that can preach and teach the word of God because it flows from the house. So he's the head of the house, and that anointing flows through him. And you remember the one time I told you when I had gone to New Jersey to minister, Pastor Dave was texting me and telling me, you get him, girl, you know, you speak the word up there, you know, and he was encouraging me. And when I took the podium that day, words of knowledge came out of me like they'd never flown out of me before. And I remembered because I come from the house and I recognize the anointing in the house. I recognize that culture in the house. So therefore, I can have what he has. Amen. I can have what she has because we fit together. We flow together in the kingdom of heaven. That's a wealth mindset. We move and we breathe and we flow together in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I'm wrapping this up. All right. We're going to have a fire tunnel here in a minute. Okay. So where was I here? Okay. Number five. Did I give you those ones? Okay. We live from a royal perspective, pulling out the identity of others and finding value and empowering them into their destiny. Amen. And 1 Peter 2:9 is not in your notes, but it's, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people that we're called, you and I are called to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness. Amen. Into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. So, Father, I just thank you for this word today, Lord. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, for what you did through your Son. Father, I thank you, God, for the power of the resurrection that lives and dwells on the inside of each one of us in here, Father. Father, I thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. Father, I thank you, God, that each one of us can walk in the destiny that you've called us to walk in, Father. Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, that those that are here, Father, that might not know exactly what you've called them to, Father, I pray, God, that you would begin to move on their lives, God, that they would see your destiny, God, that they would see your purpose in their life, Father. Father, I thank you, God, for the supernatural and River of Life Church becoming our natural, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for your goodness and your mercy. It flows in this house, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the promises that you've given to us here. Father, I thank you, God, that we become the hospital, Lord, that we become the supernatural people that you've called us to be, Father. Father, I thank you, God, that we walk in that wealth mindset, Father. Father, I pray, God, that we would have our ears would turn and our hearts would be open to what you're saying to us today, Father. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Father God, that we have everything that we have need of today. Everything, Lord, as we walk in your light and we walk in the fullness of who you are in our life. Father, we love you and we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to have a fire tunnel. So I'm going to ask somebody to come and help me move this out of the way. And the TV stand.